The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. I have three special guests with me this morning. In the studio is joining me is Jacqueline Lawrence and Sydney Dravenport, and we will be talking about the Juneteenth Festival, that the history of Juneteenth, which is and there's going to be a special play called Unshackled, written by Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence. The Juneteenth Festival will be taking place this Saturday, June 16th, from 10 to 6 p.m. at the Martin Luther King Park on Henley Street in Santa Rosa. I'm really excited about that. I'm on their program committee, and it's been just a wonderful, wonderful experience working with these women and working with the program and learning about such an important part of history. Also joining me on the phone is going to be Susan Jensen, and we're going to be talking about the Sonoma County Wine Country Games. And Susan, it was the proud, her and her team, they played soccer. This was senior games, 50 plus. They actually won a silver medal. You know, I want to give my folks, before I go into the next part of the show, just a little bit of history about Juneteenth. Maybe that'll inspire you to stay on with me and listen to it. Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration commemorating the ending of slavery in the United States. Dating back to 1865, it was on June 19th that the Union soldiers, led by Major General Gordon Granger, landed at Galveston, Texas, with news that the war had ended and that the enslaved were free. But you have to note that this was 2.5 years after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, which had become official in 1863. So for 2 years, these people did not know they were free. And, you know, it's interesting that our program is going to be talking about freedom and talking about the situation that folks went through and the celebration of freedom. And here we have, we just survived, that's how I feel, an election process. And I'm going to tell you something. I am really disappointed. California's second most populated county, Imperial County, along with the border, they are, Imperial County is on the border of Mexico, had the lowest turnout of 16%. But it even gets better. The statewide turnout percentage was 22%. Here in Sonoma County, we did a little bit better. It was 26%. But can you believe it? On the state, it was 22%. I mean, folks, what is going on here? We live in a democracy. Don't we care about the future of our children? Don't we care about the future of our planet? I mean, there were so many important issues on the ballot. And here in Sonoma County, we had an opportunity to elect a new sheriff. And I could not believe the amount of votes that came in for this very important office. You know, we have to start thinking about who are we as a nation? Who are we as a country? Who are we as a people? And I know darn well, you know, we make it so easy for you to vote. You know, you can get an absentee ballot. And I know that probably 50% of the people that got absentee ballots, they still have it in their kitchen. You know, because, oh my goodness, the election passed and we forgot to mail it in. And, you know, there was a very interesting article, a little commentary in the Press Democrat this morning where they were talking about that sports are more important than politics. I mean, think about that. Sports are more important than politics. Sports are more important than us voting. Well, folks, sports do not determine what's going to happen in our lives. Sports do not determine if our children are going to get health care or not. Sports do not determine whether we're going to have a good education for our children. And sports do not determine whether we are going to be able to keep our freedoms. We have to think about it, the very least in a democracy. I mean, to me, voting is the simplest thing we can do. You know, and people say, oh, we don't have time. Well, when your rent goes up, you know, and all of a sudden you find out you're getting a cut or your taxes or all these issues that are happening, and all of a sudden you start complaining, well, ask yourself, maybe I should have taken that time to read that ballot to find out what's going on in my community. So I really encourage folks to think about that and tell your friends. And, you know, when someone complains to me, I say, oh, did you vote? And if they say no, I just say, shut up. I don't want to hear from you. If you can't do the smallest thing, which is fill out a ballot, I don't know what to say. I mean, but that's a lot to think about. And I don't mean to rant and rave about it, but it just, Ken and I got depressed for 2 days over this election, especially when I thought 22% of registered voters showed up at the state of California. I mean, come on, folks. You know, it's unforgivable. It is unforgivable. Anyway, that's a lot to think about, but, you know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about. Well, another thing that came across to me is there was an amazing letter to the editor. Now, you know, how many times have I said on this program, when it comes to women's productive rights, I am not for abortion, I am not against abortion, I am for choice. That each woman has their own body, they can make their own choices, and if all of a sudden, if they have an abortion and they're going to be punished by God, well, that's their issue, not my issue, and not the government's issue. So it's very important that we understand that choice should be what's in our head, not abortion. And the second thing is all those folks out there that are yelling and screaming about the fetus, how come they're not yelling and screaming about what's happening at the border, that they're separating mothers and children? I mean, that's what they did in Nazi Germany. Is this how we want to be identified? And I encourage every woman out there that's listening to call your representative and say, this has got to stop. As mothers, we need to protect all children. A child is a child. You know, it's really, really wonderful when you start thinking about it. Every mother, I don't care who she is, I don't care what religion she is, what color she is, what state she lives in, what country she lives in, when all of a sudden that little baby is put in her arms, her thought is, I am going to do the very best for her. And when you have a culture that is stopping the very best for her, and they're fighting so hard for something that is not born yet, I have to scratch my head. But there was something very amazing. A woman by the name of Connie Kellogg in Sebastopol wrote this amazing letter to the editor, and I just have to read it and do a shout out for her. Here she goes. Editor, Donald Trump has stood up for the humanity of the unborn child like no president in history. According to columnist Mark A. Thiessen, the most fearlessly pro-life president in history, in his column on May 24th. That's nice. But after these children are born, Trump is discriminating programs for poor women, denying mothers the time to bond with their infants by insisting on they need to go back to work to get benefits, not providing government assistance in the form of inexpensive and high-quality child care centers, and cutting funds for school lunch programs, education, and children's health and dental care. So the point seems to me that if you're a conservative Christian who supports Trump, when you believe that life and your concern about it ends at birth. I am pro-life, pro-family, and pro-choice. My position is that if you don't protect children after they are born and support the families who gave birth to those children, you are not Christians. And if you don't have a uterus, then you don't get to choose for those who do, quite simple, really. Those who do, quite simple, really. And that was written by Connie Kellogg in Sebastopol. A special shout out, Connie. Well written, well said. I'll tell you something. As women, we really have a struggle. Yes. You know, and I want to encourage everybody to go on my website, www.womenspaces.com, and read the poem I wrote, I Am Women, I Am All Women. Because as women, we must stand tall for our children. Why? The children are our future. Yep. The children are our future. Well, that's enough to think about for this morning. Wow, what a bunch of stuff to go around in your head. Elections, pro-choice, pro-life, the whole nine yards. It's just so much to think about and so much to do. For those of you who get bored out there, there's no need to be bored. There's a lot to do in this culture to make it a lot better. And now we're going to go to the next segment here. I have on the phone with me a very special person who just happens to be my daughter, Susan Jensen. Are you with us, Susan?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Well, congratulations, a silver medal. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
You know, it's hard to believe. You know, I got to tell my listeners, it's hard to believe my daughter is 50 plus and she's going to be a grandmother and I'm going to be a great grandmother. Blows our mind, doesn't it, Sue?
It really does. I can't wait.
I know, it's a little girl. Well, let's talk a little bit. You just participated in what is called the Sonoma Wine Country Games, and that's for us young folks, 50 plus.
Right.
Talk a little bit about it. What is this Sonoma Wine Country Games, and how did you find out about it, and what inspired you, I mean, to participate in this competition?
Well, the Sonoma Wine Country Games is basically a competition that's happens annually, and it's sponsored by the Council on Aging. And the way that I found out about it was through the soccer community, because one of the sports that you can compete in at 50 plus is soccer for men and women. They also have a 60 plus program to compete in as well. So Sonoma County Women's Soccer League has numerous women that play soccer all over the county. We travel all over the world to compete in soccer tournaments, and it's really exciting that we had one right here in our own county.
Well, I just want to fill folks in, because I'm looking at the chart I have in front of me. They had archery, badminton, basketball, golf. What's pickleball? That's not interesting.
Well, I was looking at it, and pickleball is kind of like tennis, but sort of played with like a table tennis type.
Right, they have table tennis. Yeah, they have table tennis. They have regular tennis, swimming, track and field. So was all this going on while you were competing with the soccer?
No, it started, I believe it started June 1st. So the different sports all started at different times throughout the community. But they do have one big party that they had on Saturday for everybody to participate in from all the sports, all men and all women.
So talk about your team. How did you do, and how did you get this team together? I mean, I know that you were very inspirational in getting it together. Talk a little bit about it. And how? Why is this such an important game, and what do you think it does for folks 50 and over?
Well, it just, I mean, the way I got involved in it, again, I'm part of the Sonoma County Women's Soccer League, and we're always looking for tournaments. And a good portion of our league does have players that are 50 plus. And it's really exciting to actually compete against people your age. In our league, when I play every weekend, I'm generally playing against women anywhere from 18 years old up to... And they're women and men of all skill levels. And so that's why we play in this tournament.
Well, tell us how you did.
So we did really well. There were a couple of different brackets for the 50 plus, which I participated in. And we made it to the finals, and we actually played from a team that traveled all the way from Canada.
Oh, wow.
To compete. Yeah, and they ended up winning the tournament. We lost in the finals, but we fought hard. It was a great game, and their coach was amazing. They took pictures with all of us together. They gave us Canadian pins, and they were very excited.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds absolutely wonderful. And this was all women on your team, right?
Yes, it's all women. Mm-hmm.
So you got a silver, right?
Yes, we got a silver. We got second place.
So does everybody get a medal, or is this just a trophy?
So basically, there's different sizes of different brackets. I believe our bracket had seven teams in it, and the top four teams go to the semifinals. And then the top two teams go to the finals.
Oh, well, congratulations to you.
Yes, thank you very much.
What was the highlight for you?
So the highlight is there's a real camaraderie like, again, through the Sonoma County Women's Soccer League, we have a real tight-knit group that plays soccer throughout the county. And basically, there's nowhere for soccer players to go after they graduate high school or college. I mean, unless they go on to pro, but that's a very small percentage of people that can do that. So it's really nice to have a soccer league that can accommodate this. It's a way for people who move into the community to meet new people and have friendly competition against each other. We also compete at Sport City here in Santa Rosa, so there's year-long indoor sports. And basically, you know, it's just an incredible community of women that come together to compete.
Actually, our president, Alicia Sanchez, actually plays on a soccer team also every once in a while. I know you guys even played together at one time.
Yeah, we played together many years ago, but I just played against her like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's
and we always giggle when we go up against each other. It's pretty funny.
I know.
She's great.
Well, we live in a very small community. Well, Susan Jensen, I want to I really appreciate you coming on and telling us about this wonderful wonder event, Sonoma Wine Country Games. That was competition for athletes 50 plus, and I want to congratulate you and your team for winning second place, silver medal, beating a Canadian team here. Sonoma County got second place. That's really, really proud of you. For my listeners, any last words, Susan, that you'd like to share with us?
No, basically that if anybody out there is looking to play soccer and doesn't know where to start, you can certainly go to the Sonoma County Women's Soccer League website. It's scwsl.net. And there's my phone number is on the front of the website. I'm the secretary for the league. And or you can enter in as players needing a team. So when people need players, then they go ahead and look on the website and they'll introduce themselves to you and go from there.
Well, I really, really wonderful. I want to thank you so much for sharing this. One last thing. I noticed that there was some sort of fundraising going on at this event for a program called the Rising Stars.
Yeah, through Sport City. So this was a side note from the actual Wine Country Games. They did their own fundraiser as well, which went to a great cause so that all the athletes can participate annually. But on a side note, in the Song Stars, for special needs kids to be able to play soccer at Sport City with volunteers. They're paired up with volunteers because these kids really don't get to play soccer. And it just brings so much joy to the kids and their families. And, yeah, we had a little fundraiser. A bunch of us donated gift baskets for a raffle. And we all felt really good about it going to this Rising Star program through Sport City.
Well, Susan Jensen, once again, congratulations to you and your team. We won a silver medal, second Yay. Place, beat out a Canadian team. I want to read one last thing for my listeners and for you, Susan. It's a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. It goes along with the Sonoma Wine Country Games mission statement, which is to encourage healthy activity and social engagement for anyone 50-plus through education, connections, and the spirited competition of sport, inspiring all to take an active role in determining the quality of their aging. I like that, determining the quality of their aging. And here's a quote by someone I admire tremendously, Eleanor Roosevelt. The purpose of life, after all, is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost, to reach out eagerly and without fear, for newer and richer experiences. And that's what it sounds like you had, a new and rich experience. So thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces.
All right. Thank you, Elaine. You have a wonderful day.
You too, my friend.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm so proud of my daughter. I'm so proud of her. Well, folks, now we're going to get into the next portion of our show. But before that, we're going to take a musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing is a song called Freedom Song, sung by Vivian Richmond. And when we return, joining me in the studio will be Jacqueline Lawrence and Sydney Davenport. And we'll be talking about the Juneteenth Festival, the history of Juneteenth, and a special performance of the play Unshackled, written by Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence.
Oh, freedom,
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Go home to my Lord and be free. No more weeping, no more weeping, no more weeping over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Go home to my Lord and be free. Well, come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Go with me to that land where I am bound. Well, come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Go with me to that land where I am bound. Well, there's no morning in that. No morning in that land where I am bound. No, there's no morning in that land. There's no morning in that land. No morning in that land where I am bound. I'm on my way,
I'm on my way
to the freedom land. I'm on my way,
I'm on my way
to the freedom land.
Freedom land.
I'm on my way,
I'm on my way
to the freedom land.
Freedom land.
I'm on my way, great God, I'm on my way.
I ask my brother
to come with me. I ask my brother
to come with me.
I ask my brother
to come with me.
You hear that? I'm on my way and I'm not turning back. Yay! For you folks just tuning in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two special guests joining me in the studio, Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence and Sydney Davenport.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for having us here.
Oh, my goodness. This has been some interview. I mean, just the beginning and then the soccer thing has just been really exciting. Well, you know, I'm doing things a little bit different today. I thought I would let you just introduce yourself. So, Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, I love that I call you Dr. Lawrence. Would you tell us just a little bit about yourself, how you got involved with Juneteenth, and just whatever you want to share?
Sure, Elaine. So I grew up here in Santa Rosa, not really knowing what Juneteenth was. I just knew it was a time that black folk got together once a year in South Park, and we had fun. That's all I knew. I heard the name, but I didn't even bother to inquire what it was all about. I just knew it was a time for us to come together and eat barbecue and sing songs and do a little partying. And even all the way to through high school. I never learned what Juneteenth was, and went to college, and I really never learned what Juneteenth was, even though I went to an all-black college. It was in the South, so I guess they just assumed everybody knew what Juneteenth was.
Yes.
I don't really know how I found out what Juneteenth was, but I do know that it wasn't until later on in life that I heard that that's when the slaves in Texas were freed. Why I decided to get involved in Juneteenth is because, first of all, I'm involved in several different activities around African-American history and that sort of thing. I have a museum. I have a production company, Black History Production Company. I'm very close to Miss Nancy Rogers, who heads the Juneteenth celebration, her and her husband, Harold.
48th year.
48th year. So also, I am going to be doing a production at the Juneteenth Festival. And so I felt it only fitting that I be involved in the planning of the Juneteenth celebration.
We're going to talk a little bit later about that wonderful play that you wrote, Unshackled, which I saw. I saw at the Baptist Church, and I'll tell you, it left me with an impression that I never forgot. And the impression was, is how much work these human beings had to do on a daily basis. I remember there's one scene where the women are doing, like, doing a whole thing, and I'm thinking, my God, doing that all day long?
Okay, but you're talking about The Spirit of Us, Miss Elaine. You were there at The Spirit of Us.
Oh, my goodness.
That was about a couple of years ago at Community Baptist Church. But this is something totally different. Uh-huh. Nobody has seen it.
Oh, boy, I am so excited.
I am so excited because it is an all-new production.
Oh, well, The Spirit, the first one I saw was just amazing. So if it's anything close to that, I mean, people are in for a treat. Well, let's go on to you, Cindy Davenport. You know, you have a real interesting history because your grandmother, what was your grandmother's name?
Evangelist Smarthill Perry.
Yeah, she was really involved with the Juneteenth here in Sonoma County. So talk a little bit about that and talk about how you found out about it. And because of her, were you involved at the very beginning?
Well, like Jackie, I too was born and raised here. I was, and my grandmother actually started the Juneteenth. She is from Texas and migrated to San Francisco and then bought some property in Sonoma County. And there was no Juneteenth held here. So she started it in 1953 at her property and continued that. Majority of the guests were white. And there was not very many blacks when she first came here. So she did do that at her property. And then there was a celebration that was held at the park. It was the Martin Luther King celebration, which would made it possible for us to participate there and have her function at her residence. And then they decided to have it at the park. They changed it from Martin Luther King celebration to the Juneteenth at the park. That was 48 years ago, which kind of made it hard for us to all participate, being that we sing and, you know, do things there. And so with my grandmother's passing, we decided that we would have still celebrate her hard work and the things that she did at our property in June, and we have never stopped. We had it. She died in 1996. We continue to do that, but then it also frees us up to participate at the park, which we all, you know, we all participated. I mean, like Jackie said, that was what, you know, our people did. They got together at the park, and it was that one time where everybody got together. They saw each other once a year, and we all ate, and, you know, there's music and dancing. And so, you know, we are with Jackie. Well, now that Nancy has taken over and she's been doing it, she's bringing in a lot of other people and asking us as we're more mature and adults to help her in keeping this going. And that's how me and Jackie are involved in going out the park now.
Well, you know, history, you know, it's really interesting to be myself being brought up Jewish. You know, history is so important because if we don't know our history, You know, we're talking about people that were enslaved for almost 400 years, and here it is, finally, they get their freedom, and it's 2.5 years till this one group of people even find out about it, you know, all the different things that are going on. And, you know, we take advantage of our freedom. And I know with myself, you know, a lot of people, they'll deny that there was a Holocaust, and I say, wait a minute, you need to study it. You need to study what happened with the African-American people. Why do you need to study it? Because you want to stop it from ever happening again, because it's slowly creeps up to you without even realizing it. So, well, that's really interesting. So, say your grandmother's name. Let's just honor your grandmother. Say it real clearly.
Evangelist Martiel Perry.
What a name.
Yes.
God, yes, thank you for yes. doing that, really. So, anything else that you'd like to add about
yes.
the history or anything? Go ahead,
there
Jacqueline.
There is one more thing that I would like to add. So, it took the slaves, like you mentioned, 2.5 years in Galveston to get the news of their freedom. Harriet Tubman had said that, you know, she had freed a 1,000 slaves, and she'd have freed 1,000 more if they'd have known they were slaves.
Yes.
And so an issue with our people even today, and not just our people, people in general, is so many people do not understand their freedom, and so many people are still enslaved in so many different ways. They're enslaved to hatred without even knowing why.
Yes.
They're enslaved to oppression. They're enslaved to thoughts of supremacy. They're enslaved to being oppressed. They're shackled. And I know we're going to get into it later, but that's exactly why I decided to do the production Unshackled, because so many people are still so bound, and it's not just black people.
Right. Well, it's all of us. I mean, I'm thinking about the show before us. They were talking with Michael Dyson about the athletes that are protesting and what they're going through. People don't even understand that when those young men took the knee, they were actually showing respect. You know, that was a respectful demonstration, a way of saying, you know, that we don't agree with this, but they're still allowing a certain level of respect. And we don't even understand that because we don't pay attention to history and we don't understand what freedom is. That's why when I mentioned that 22% about the voting, I mean, I say to myself, my God, we live in a free country. People all over the planet are dying so they can vote, and we're too lazy. I mean, it's really a shame. Well, you know, anything else you'd like to add? Anything else you'd like to add, Sydney? Because we're going to take a little musical break, and we're going to try to play this song. There's a song we're going to do a little bit from Unshackled, because I am really excited about it, especially, forgive my ignorance, here my mind is set on this one play, and here you've written something new. Let me ask you real quick, where do you get all your inspiration from and your energy, both of you? I mean, I know you also do some spoken word. Is that true, Sydney?
No, I do some stuff through Jackie. I'm her guinea pig.
What part are you playing in the play?
I'm playing a slave owner's wife.
Oh, that is interesting.
Sydney is actually playing a white woman.
Yes,
because
I
couldn't find a white woman to play the part. So Sydney is mixed.
Yes, I am half white, so I'm gonna work that line.
She does a fantastic job.
I bet she does.
Yeah, she does.
Well, tell us a little bit before we take the musical break. Tell us, where do you get your inspiration and your energy to write these wonderful things? And I know you do a lot with the spoken word.
So where I get the energy, I don't know. It's just a day-to-day, minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour thing. Help me, Lord. That's where I get it from. Where I get my inspiration, my motivation, where I get everything that I got comes from the Lord.
Yes.
So that's where I get everything. He gives it to me.
Oh, that is exciting.
Yes.
I'm with you in that camp. I don't call it the Lord. I say the great spirit, the great power, the great mystery. I don't know how it happened. You know, even yesterday, it was so funny. We went down and we were at the Railroad Square Music Festival, which, by the way, folks, next year, don't miss it. It's one of the best festivals I've been to in a long, long time. And all of a sudden, we're you know, so crowded, we couldn't get a parking place. And all of a sudden, Ken said, make that turn. And we made the turn, and then someone's pulling out, and there
exactly.
we are. You know, it's those little things
yes.
right.
that we just take for granted.
Yes.
Well, we're going to take a musical break now, and we're going to play a song. Why you give us the phonetic, the language, and I'm going to give the interpretation.
Okay, so the song is called Didn't My Law Deliver Dania. However, it is not a part of the play, but it is the overall theme of not only the play, but my whole ministry, and that is the hope and dream of the African slave is the deliverance. Freedom.
Yes.
So that's why I chose this song.
You know, one thing I want to share here when you talk about freedom. I was on Facebook, and I don't know how it happened. I went on YouTube, and I don't know how it happened, but I ended up finding this little clip on when the soldiers freed, liberated the people in concentration camps,
mm-hmm.
and how they were kissing them. You know, they were kissing them and hugging them. And one man said, I'm free. I'm free at last. And I thought to myself, God, how many times have we heard that? I'm free. I'm free at last. So it's really important. So it's Didn't My Lord Deliver Daniel. Is that's the...
Yes, it's Didn't My Lord Deliver Daniel, but in slave vernacular, Didn't My Lord Deliver Daniel.
Oh, that's great. Okay, are we ready, Ken? Go ahead and fire her up.
My Lord Deliver Daniel.
Word to use here, but I'm going to use the word treat. What a treat to listen to an actual song, a historical song. I kind of got the feeling, I could almost feel people in the churches singing that. So give us a little background. Oh, before we do that, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And for those of you just joining, I'm talking with Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence and Sydney Davenport, and we're talking about the Juneteenth Festival and the history of Juneteenth. And also, there's going to be a special performance of a newly written play, Unshackled. This is going to be the performance, the first performance of the play written by Dr. Lawrence. And the Juneteenth Festival will be taking place this Saturday at Martin Luther King Park. Anyway, give us a little background, Jacqueline, on that song. Who was singing it, and just a little history on it.
So that song was sung by Eris Choral Group, which is a group of women who are, you know, part of my plays, and they sing in the style of the slave, the uncultivated, unformed, unscripted form of the African slave. And didn't my Lord deliver Daniel is the hope and dream of the African slave. That's what we all hope for and dream about, is freedom, deliverance from oppression, brutality, violence, hatred, all that.
Well, it still
horrible
lives.
Stuff.
It still
yes,
lives
that
in our
still
world.
Exists.
Yes, it does.
Well, let's go into the play now. You know, part of the program will include this play called Unshackled. So talk a little bit about it. Give us a little bit of background. And I know at some point you and Sydney are going to give us just a little taste of it. And also, it's going to be performed at 10 o'clock in the morning from 10 to 12. And afterwards, I know there's going to be a great discussion. And I think it's so important for people to participate because, again, giving us a piece of history and seeing the work of women and the part that they played in the whole issue. So go ahead, give us a little background about the play, what motivated you, and anything else you'd like to share.
So Unshackled is brought to us in part by the city of Santa Rosa, and it is a three-part production. The first part, which you said, starts at 10 o'clock, and it is a stage play, which takes place on a southern plantation. And the slaves are receiving the news of their freedom. And what we get to hear are the various thoughts of not only the slaves, but also the master, his wife, the overseer, about this newfound freedom. Some feel good about it. Some do not feel so good. Some are fearful. Some don't want to be free. Some already feel free. Some don't want to step out into that great big world. They just don't know what's going to happen to them. They have no idea what this freedom looks like. Right. It's all new to them.
But also 400 years, and not only that, most of them could not read or write. You know, so they're just being kind of thrown in a culture like, wow.
Right. So they're thrown out there, and the whites are thrown out there with life being a lot different than it used to. And they just dispersed. But nobody told them what freedom was supposed to look like or be like. They just left. And even today, nobody really told us. We just are out there trying to be free. And I guess the white man is out there trying to let us be free. I don't know.
Or stop us.
Or stop us from being free. Because they never did want us to be free. But there's a part about the play that I'm not going to tell you. I will tell you this, though. It has a twist, because the second part of the play reveals something that it basically reveals that some of these same thoughts that took place on that plantation way back then still exist today. And that's the twist.
Oh, be interesting.
Yes.
So. How about you, Sydney? What is it like participating? I mean, playing a white woman in this situation. What are some of your feelings? I mean, what do you think went through her mind at the time?
Well, the part I play is it's all of our people are going to be gone. I'm going to have to. There's nobody going to be able to take care of my babies. I'm going to be like, I have to be a wife. And I'm used to being waited on, me and my husband. And so now my husband's got to tell them that they're free, and we don't want them to leave.
Well, I got to tell you something so funny. I'm listening to a sitcom called The Royals, and it's Christmas time, and one of the young princes, there was a tradition that they just let all the servants go. And all of a sudden, all the royals are coming out. Well, where's the silverware? You know, where's the forks? Where
right.
Where do they keep the food? You know,
yes.
How do we wash the food?
That's exactly me.
Yeah,
yes.
So that I can really relate to that. And it was so funny because they really did not know what to do. And I imagine, who would ever have thought of that? But you know, there's another thing. There's another thing that is really interesting to me. What was that show called 12 Years a Slave?
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I'll never forget that scene as long as I live, when the master was punishing that young African-American young woman. And the wife was so jealous because of what was going on that she allowed things to happen. So it feels like there was even more stuff going on with the woman in the house than even one can imagine.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it seems like it tore everybody apart.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Deb said something very interesting. He said, as long as there's one man in prison, I am not free. You know, I feel that way. As long as there's one child that's hungry, your child could be hungry. You
right,
know,
it's true.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. So why don't we do a little sample of what you're going to say or what you're going to do? Why don't you explain the part that you're going to read, Jacqueline? Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence is going to read a part from her play Unshackled that's going to be presented this weekend at the Martin Luther King Park for the Juneteenth celebration. So go ahead. What is the part you're going to share with us?
So I'm playing the role of Lucretia Borgia, and she is the head house slave. So she's kind of in charge of all the slaves. And this is her part. She's addressing the slaves. Now, I done told y'all I don't knows nothing. All I knows is Massa Willis calls me to the front porch and tells me to fetch everybody for a special meeting. And that's what I done. So I's just as much in the blind as the rest of y'all is. Lesson, of course, this ain't got something to do with Massa's special visitor from up yonder north.
So she's meeting with them, and she's telling them now that they're free. And they really don't know what it means. They're just kind of blindsided.
Actually, she's telling them that there's a special meeting that the master wants them all to attend. He's the one that gives them the news, and she doesn't even know what the meeting is about.
Oh,
he just said, go get them. So that's all she did is went to fetch them. And then she did hear earlier that he had a visitor from up yonder north.
Oh, so they don't know. Oh, that's so interesting.
They have no idea, and they're just shocked that he wants all of them because he has no need for all the Negroes on his plantation ever. It's all about being out there in the plantation, but now they get to walk up to the front porch.
Oh, my goodness. So is that in itself is a change, walking up to the front porch. I mean, it's almost like I'm thinking about the city council. You can't go, you know, you can only go so far, and the rest is like sacred ground.
Right. Yes, exactly. So that's sacred grounds. All them Negroes around the front, we can't have all that. So now they get to go up to the front porch, and so they know it's a big deal.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it's just in that one little statement, and understanding it is so historical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and imagine the fear. I mean, there could be a lot of fear, like, why all of a sudden is he pulling us all together?
Exactly.
You know, is someone going to be punished? Is someone, you know, someone run away? I mean, all kinds of things could go through your mind. Wow.
And that's exactly what our slaves start to say.
Right.
Yes. I wonder if he found that package I hid out in the woods waiting for my great big old steal away. And we will be singing some of our songs as well.
That's great.
Yes.
And Sydney, how about you? What is your feeling? Why don't you give a little part that you're going to read as the slave owner's wife?
Well, the part that
this poor woman that's all of a sudden is going to have to wash her own dishes,
her own clothes. My part is my husband is calling them up there, and he's got to tell them that they're free. And my part that I'm telling him, I say, make sure you make it sound like it's no choice to be free. Don't make it sound like it's law, because if you do, who's going to do all the work? Who's going to fetch my things and take care of the little ones? And don't be your slop jaw. Come on now, Judson. Don't be getting soft on me, too. Somebody got to maintain some control around here.
Oh, my goodness. That in itself gives you a lot of history. Because here's this woman, you know, who's treated like a queen. And now, all of a sudden, who's going to take care of it? And also that person that helped her can say no, cannot be there anymore, may want a wage. I mean, all the factors that see, we don't realize what freedom is. We don't realize that when you get up and go to work and you get a wage and you can negotiate for a wage, that is freedom. We don't understand that. And we don't understand that there was a body of people for 400 years who could not even open their mouth and ask for anything, but they were told constantly. And you have, when you look at Sojourner Truth or you look at Harriet Tubman, you say, Jesus Christ, how did they ever do it? How did they ever manage to do that? I mean, when I read about Harriet Tubman, I shake sometimes when I think of her going in the dark of the night. You know, what was going on in her mind? It's just amazing. Well, anything else you'd like to share about the play or anything else you'd like to share about what's going on? I know there's going to be a Children's Freedom Center at the Juneteenth experience. What is that all about and why is that important?
Well, Elaine, there are three components to this production, and the first one is the play. The second part is the facilitated discussions amongst the adults. We're going to talk about race, and we're going to split up in small groups, and we have trained facilitators who are going to facilitate these groups, and we're hoping to come up with some resolutions. I have no idea what these resolutions are. It's all about the participants, but we're hoping to come up with some resolutions, and during the time that the adults are together, the children are going to be off to the side in the Freedom Center, and they're going to be hearing books about freedom and the Underground Railroad, and they're going to be doing different arts activities, and they're going to present a song during the third component, which is an Unshackled celebration where the children are going to do a parade and the grown-ups are going to reveal the resolutions that we've come up with as a group.
Well, you know, Jacqueline, I got to intersect something here that I think is very important. What it sounds like to me, what is so important about this play is, number one, the historical content.
Yes.
But number two, the fact that people will be, you know, we all, if we have to come together as a people, you know, we have to come together, all races, and talk about these things and not be afraid. So when you see an example of the oppression of freedom and then all of a sudden the exhilaration of freedom, and then you talk about maybe what you can do to evaluate what is going on in today's world and help elevate it even more, I think this is very, very important.
Exactly. I agree, Elaine. And one of the things that I really want to come out of this is we had a discussion group. It was called Created Equal. It was at the Sebastopol Library about a week and a half ago. It was so awesome. Unfortunately, only women came out. I don't quite understand the complacency of men, but that's a whole nother story. And so one of the things that came out of that and other discussions about race is that we need to do more of it. And so I've decided that I am going to start doing more of it. So I hope to be able to reveal the next time that we can get together and let's discuss race.
Well, I think more of it has to also do with people coming together, because when you sit across from somebody and you get to know them, all that disappears.
It does.
I mean, it really does. You know, I mean, it's not that you're going to look at me, I'm always going to be blonde. I'm going to look at you, you're always going to have, you know, dark-colored skin. I mean, that's never going to change.
Absolutely.
But what changes is that doesn't matter anymore. It kind of melts, that we're just women talking, being together, trying to make a better place for our children.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And one of the questions that was brought up in one of these discussion groups, it was brought up by a white woman, and I applaud her for asking this question. She said, how do I get to know a black person well enough without making them feel like a token? And and so the answer to that everybody gave was just be friends. You know, little kids, they just know how to come together and get to know each other, start talking, be friends. Just start off being friends.
Absolutely.
And so then it doesn't have to seem fake.
Well, I can I can attest, as a Caucasian woman, I can attest to that. I've lived across the street from with Nancy Rogers for almost 30 years. And I'll tell you something, when we first met each other, we just looked at each other like, wow, how are we going to do this one?
Right.
And also being all of us coming together, you get to know me better, I get to know you, and all of a sudden right. It's just a bunch of women.
Absolutely.
But we must never forget that we have differences. We look different. We feel, but we're not really that different. No. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, the end of the segment, and so I want to make sure I invite people. Give the address. It's going to be at the Martin Luther King Park on Henley on this Saturday, June 16th, from 10 to 6 o'clock. We're going to have lots of entertainment, lots of bands, and at 10 o'clock, we're going to have the play Unshackled and then all the other activities around that. So any last words, ladies, you'd like to say to our audience?
I want to just say thank you so much, Elaine, for doing everything you do and for having us here on your show today.
Thank you very much.
You're awesome. And
oh,
just
ditto.
Keep
takes
doing,
one to know one, baby.
Keep doing what I know. And so keep doing what you do, okay?
Well, thank you so much. Well, that's it for our show. Special thank you to Dr. Janklin Lawrence and Cindy. Wait.
Sid
Davenport and talking about the Juneteenth Plus Festival, which will be taking place this Saturday, June 16th from 10 to 6 p.m. at the Martin Luther King Junior Park on Henley Street in Santa Rosa. Reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. Actually, I think I do pretty well. Also, I am available for speaking engagements, and if anybody has a birthday, an anniversary, any of those things, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. And also, all the information about the Juneteenth Festival will be on Women's Spaces. And also, I really encourage people to come on out for that play, Unshackled. I know it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, but you know, it's a good way to get out, get to the park, and really sit down and discover some things about our past and be able to talk about, you know, they're going to have the discussion to be able to talk about your feelings, to be able to talk about your fears, and to come together as a community. I mean, to me, that's what it's all about. You know, it's just amazing to me. I mean, when you start thinking about it, and to remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that.
Yes.
Why do I say that? Because with no children, there's no future. And if we don't feed them well, if we don't educate them, if we don't house them, if we don't take care of them, folks, the future looks pretty bleak. Well, anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I look forward to being with you the next time. And a reminder, if you need any information or you want to listen to any of the past shows, just go to www.womenspaces.com.
Your life.